What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation. Sunday morning we came in celebrating the fact of He got up. Amen. And we still are celebrating that. I told the choir this morning, every Sunday morning is Resurrection Sunday for the Christian. We should every Sunday morning come in celebrating Easter Sunday. And I'm glad that because of what we celebrated last Sunday, we can celebrate the fact that one of these days we're going to get up. Amen. And I am so thankful for that. What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. Key over there. I think we got one more song we need to sing this morning before we turn it over to Pastor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor. Happy
thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been a birthday boy for the weekend, and it's been a good time. And I told Lily the other day, I said, you know, sometimes this past year, I thought I was already 37. And so knowing for sure I'm 37 kind of really didn't seem like much. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord for another year alive. And serving him, and appreciate all of his blessings, appreciate my family, appreciate my church family, and it's just an honor and a joy and a privilege and a blessing and an opportunity to be here this morning, and it's good seeing everyone here. I just want to welcome you to Calvary Baptist Church. I want to mention a couple things before we pray this morning, and we will continue on in our morning service. Continue to remember Miss Catherine Plemons. She's not doing well at all. It just seems like Brother Ceylon just said that. What did I say? Oh, okay. Well, y'all know what I meant. y'all give me a break up here.
That's 37 catching up with you.
Yeah, it is. You see what I'm saying? So, y'all give me a break this morning. Y'all know what I mean. My goodness. Her mother, she's not doing well, as you know, for some time. But here recently, she's just been, seemed like waning each and every day. And so, not eating much, not saying much, a lot of sleep. And you remember her. I want to mention a special request. I said something about it Wednesday night. I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with the Tidwell family that's been kind of sitting there in the back, close to the back. there's, let's see, Ben Tidwell and Shelly. It's Shelly Matt is her last name. They're brother and sister. But nonetheless, they're part of the Tidwell family. But Shelly got in an auto accident last week, and she flipped her pickup truck on Brownsville Road. And the amazing thing was it landed back on all four tires, and she drove home. Totally amazing. I mean, really. And but anyway, she ended up going down to Atlanta Medical and broke several bones. She had a plate placed in the back of her neck on Thursday, I believe it was. And she's still there recovering. So just remember her in your prayers. It is an absolute miracle she's alive. And so I told Ben we would continue to pray for her until she comes home. Let's remember Brother Rusty Watkins. He has a sleep study coming up and several things around that he has to be seen about. And Shirley Townsend's with us, but let's pray for her biopsy results and as those come in. And also, let's remember, Brother Larry Bennett's cousin, Alan, severe case. Skin infection, but he said it's getting better. So we praise the Lord for that. Also, Miss Amanda Martin's stepdad, his organs are shutting down, and things are getting not looking so well for him. So let's definitely engage in prayer for him on his behalf. And several other requests. Again, we have a lengthy prayer section in our bulletin. And many that even aren't on that, so you continue to pray. The Palmer's daughter, Sharon, cancer treatments, and on we go. And so, is there any emergency prayer requests this morning? You can mention those right now if you need to. Maybe there's a praise. Just want to make sure I have everybody. Mother shed her brain. Let's remember a friend, Brother David's, Janet Mothershed, brain cancer, and has it overtaken, it's grown rapidly. Okay, let's remember that request as well. All right, well, we're here this morning. The sun is shining on the outside. The sun is shining on the inside. And our sign still says Easter. And you know what? We're celebrating Easter today because the Lord is alive. And so I'm glad it's still on the sign. I told Brother Jack this morning, he said, Brother Justin, we're going to change that out next week. I said, hey, that's fine. Because some people who go to church once a year for Easter has already forgotten about it, and so it's on our sign to remind them again. And so anyway, let's worship the Lord this morning, and I believe the Lord has something he wants all of us to know. And so let's just engage in prayer and then pray that the Lord will speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we're humbled, Lord, the opportunities that you set before us, but we, Lord, we arise to the occasion and we put our hearts in it, Lord, and we pray that you would bless the service today. Father, I pray that you would bless Brother Allen as we continue to sing in the choir. Father, we pray for all the requests. You've heard the petitions, Lord. You've heard the requests that were made, those that are in the hospital, those who have had surgery, going to have surgery, awaiting results. And those, Lord, who are in financial strain, those who have marital trouble, parental trouble, mental trouble, all of these troubles and cares, Lord, you're aware of. Even those who wanted to say something, but that didn't say anything. Every one of us today, Lord, your church has something in our life, Lord, that we want to get better. We want to have a handle on. And we're in the right place. We're in your house where music or the message is sung, Lord, and the Word of God is being preached. We pray that you would meet with us, pinpoint, speak to us, Lord, in our hearts and minds today what you want us to know. Give us faith to believe, Lord. Give us courage to leave here and live, Lord, in the word we are going to receive today and rejoice forevermore. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. Move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Allen.
Church, you stand with me this morning. Turn over to page number 393. Page 393, let's all stand and sing When We All Get to Heaven. Everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace.
Seated. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I trust everyone's had a great week following Easter Resurrection Sunday. And let me just say again to the choir, on behalf of the choir, what a tremendous job they did last week. And we're so thankful for that. Thank you so much for your prayerful support. And I appreciate your encouragement. Many have come to me and just told me how much you enjoyed it, and we thank you so much. Thank you for your prayers, and we could not have done it without you, and we appreciate you, all of the work, Elsie, the guys in the back, everything that was done. Brother David, Jeff, I could go on and on, but I know that I would miss someone. I wouldn't want to do that, but a lot of work goes on behind the scenes of all of that, and I appreciate that very much. But the choir done a tremendous job. Everyone and every part, I thank you so much for all of your work and your faithfulness, and we just most of all thank the Lord. Amen. It's what it was all about, what it was all for, and I believe that he was represented well. And I told CJ this morning, I said, we know you wasn't Jesus, but buddy, when you came walking out of there, out of that tomb, man, I'd like to have myself one of them shouting spells. Amen. I felt like I was there. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to know that Jesus is alive and he is well, seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, making intercession for you and I this morning. Amen? And we are so thankful for that. And we're going to sing one of those brand new songs for you here again in a few moments, come Sunday morning, so you can be much in prayer. And those are not songs that we're just going to do for Easter. Amen? And we're glad that he's alive every Sunday. Hallelujah. But please remember this morning a couple of things. Choir, here with me and give you a little bit of a break today. 5:30 for choir practice. Immediately following the evening service, we're going to get together for Pastor's birthday and celebrate with him this afternoon. After the evening service tonight, ice cream, snacks. I think they've turned it into a little bit of some finger foods and sandwiches and things downstairs, fellowship hall, after the service tonight. So please remember that. There's a sign-up sheet down here. Make sure that we bring everything that's there. If you want to sign up for something, please do so. Also, there's a sign-up sheet for the book on the Revelation. I believe that Brother Jack told me this morning that 71 copies have now gone out. The goal is 100, and if we reach that, we'll go from there. And so we thank the Lord for that. But please go ahead and sign up if you want a copy of that. 71 have already gone out. If you want to get a copy and get it to a friend somewhere, that would be wonderful as well. But please go ahead and see the sign-up sheet, and they will get you your copy. But we praise the Lord for that. It's a great work, and I thank Brother Jack and Miss Jackie for that on the book of the Revelation. Also, please don't forget about Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. It would appear that the children's home must be traveling today. So please remember them in prayer, let's pray that the Lord give them a great service this morning. Pray for Pastor this morning, and I trust that he has had a great week on his birthday, and we celebrate that with him. But we look forward to what God has in store for us here this morning. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's pray for the offering now, both the gift and the giver. And we're thankful, and we praise the Lord for a great Easter offering last week. It was tremendous. We praise the Lord for that. Some things need to be done around here at the church house. So we're thankful for that. And we look forward to what God has in store for us here at Calvary. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us today. Brother Don Nettles, would you lead us as we pray?
The disciples were gathered in an upper room. Their world was sealed up in a garden tomb. But there in the darkness, they were so afraid, unsure of tomorrow and what they would face. 'Cause on Friday, the Savior died on a cross. Saturday, it seemed like all hope was lost. But soon, there would be cause for rejoicing, 'cause everything changes. Not one could remember the promise he made, that he'd lay his life down, but in just 3 days. The grave would surrender in total defeat, yet death would be swallowed up in victory. Just 3 days ago. On Friday, the Savior died on a cross. Saturday, it seemed like all hope was lost.
This morning, you enjoy the music, man. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and we're going to be looking in Psalm 138 this morning. We'll be looking in Psalm 138, and we're also going to be looking in Psalm 37, but I want you to start in Psalm 138. Psalm 138, beginning in verse number 6 down through verse number 8, is going to be our starting point. And we'll look at some things this morning that I pray will be a help and a blessing to all of us. Just a very practical message this morning concerning the Lord and His awareness of where we are and what we're doing. Let's pray, and then we're going to begin reading out of verse number 6 down through verse number 8 out of Psalm 138. Father God, we come in Jesus' name one more time. Lord, we're thankful that You did die on the cross and You were buried and You rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, Lord. And Lord, we celebrate that today. We celebrate it every day. And Father, we're forever grateful. My prayer for the next few moments is that You would use me, Lord. Help me to rightly divide Your word. I pray that You would help me to communicate Your word to the hearts of Your people through the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray when it's invitation time that if someone needs to come and accept You as their personal Savior, I pray today would be the day. If there's a Christian here that needs to come and just rededicate their life to You, Lord, I pray that would happen. And Lord, I pray for the Christian that just needs guidance today, that's not sure about Your will. Father, I pray that they would be sure today as to the direction they should go and what they should do in life. I pray that they would come as well. And Father, I pray if there's someone who just wants to give You praise, that they would come and just give You praise, Lord, down here at the altar this morning. We love You, we praise You, and we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Psalms, chapter number 138. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6. David says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of Thine own hand. That's reading verse number 6 down through verse number 8 this morning, Psalm 138. These verses primarily deal with the subject of God being our supervisor. And the Lord being high up into the heavens, and as He takes supervision of us and He beholds all the activities down here on earth, He interacts with us. I want to say this morning that the Lord knows everything that's going on earth. He knows everything that's going on in Georgia. He knows everything that's going on in Powder Springs. And He knows everything that's going on at Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs. Though the Lord be high, He knows exactly what's going on right where we're at. And so these verses primarily deal with the Lord and His supervision of the believer. Again, there's some things in these verses, and I want to mention these things, that certain ways that the Lord interacts as supervisor with His children. He interacts with us. Though He be high and though He be in the heavens, He has a way of interacting with us. He has a way of interacting with America. He has a way of interacting with all of the states that make up America. He has a way of interacting within every city and every county. And God has a way of interacting in our church, and God has a way of interacting in our lives as individuals. God has a way of interacting at our homes, at our jobs. I think sometimes people think that since the Lord is so high in the heavenlies, that there's no way that He knows where you're at and what you're doing and what you're in need of. But God knows exactly what we need. He's our heavenly supervisor. And with that said, this morning, I want to share with you the subject of under heavenly supervision. Under heavenly supervision. And that's the case with all of us this morning. I want to mention five ways our heavenly supervisor interacts with His children. Five ways as to how He interacts with us each and every day. If you notice in verse number 6, we see that He interacts with us through awareness. Through awareness. Notice what He says in verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. The word respect here, it means to see. It means to evaluate. It means to know. So He says that though the Lord be high and though the Lord is in the heavenlies, all of those millions and millions of miles and the time or the space gap between here and there, and I believe heaven is a real location, but though He be high and though He be far off at a great distance, the Bible says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. The Lord sees us this morning. There's an awareness of what we're doing. There's an awareness of our situation this morning. The word lowly here is in reference to somebody being in trouble, a person being humble, a person being distressed even, a person being in a place where they're vulnerable. It's a time of trouble for this person. And so the Lord this morning, He's aware, our heavenly supervisor is aware of exactly where we're at this morning. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. I said I believe that heaven is a literal place because it is a literal place. Paul speaks of in the New Testament the three heavenlies, and the third heaven he mentions that he was called up to. And the first heaven has to do with the atmosphere and the birds and the sky, and that's the first heaven. And the second heaven is outer space, and it's the in the galaxies and the stars and the moon and all of those things. And then there's the third heaven, and that's the abode of God. And sometimes it seems as though God is so far away in the heavenlies that He has no idea where we are or what's going on. That's why I like to say that God is aware of the United States. He's aware of Georgia, Powder Springs, Calvary, home, and us as individuals, because it really funnels down to the fact that God knows our hearts and He knows what's going on. And so under heavenly supervision, number one, there's awareness. And He has respect to the lowly, those that are humble through distressed situations, those that are in a place of being perplexed, being stretched, a time of trouble and a time of burden. The Lord knows exactly where you're at this morning. He's aware. And so there's awareness from heaven concerning the troubled. But then number two, I want you to notice in verse number 7, not only there's awareness under heavenly supervision, but there's intervention under heavenly supervision. Notice in verse number 7, He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now, verse number 7 speaks of God's hand twice. In the first time, he speaks of God's hand, it's in a stretching mode. And it gives the idea, or at least in my mind, I kind of see this as the Bible says, though the Lord be high, he has respect to the lowly. It gives a picture of where God's at, but now he's given a picture of God's hand stretching down from a high place. So we know that the Lord is in the heavenlies. He's in heaven. But yet he knows what's going on earth. And in verse number 7, there's intervention from heaven. The Bible says and speaks of him stretching forth his hand from heaven. Can you picture that? God's hand, I mean, just a hand and an arm stretching down from heaven all the way down and taking care of you. But I want to say this morning, there is a hand that stretches down. We can't see it with the physical eye, but we can through the eyes of faith. And it's the unseen hand. And this unseen hand, it guides us and it protects us and it moves us and it positions us in life. This is a hand that intervenes in our life. Notice the word revive in verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. The word revive literally means to keep alive. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a time or going through a situation where you felt like you was going to die? I mean, the situation you're going through, because of the heaviness, because of the burden, because of the pain, because nothing's making sense or adding up, you just felt like you were going to die. Well, the Bible says that we are under heavenly supervision, and God is aware of our situation. And I want to say this morning, you may feel like even this morning that you are going to die and not make it in the situation you're in. But as long as we're in the scope of God's view, which his scope is cannot be measured, as long as we're in the scope of God's view, he has his eye on us and he will intervene. Now, I don't know how he intervenes or how he will intervene in your life, in your situation. Sometimes he removes the situation, but then other times he empowers the individual to continue on in the situation to get the victory. But nonetheless, God has a way of keeping us alive. I mean, there's times when we feel like we're just going to die in a situation. It's going to overtake us. You ever felt like you were drowning in your trouble? Or just blah, 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 blah. Well, the Lord has a way of keeping us alive. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. You will keep me alive. You will charge me. You will generate me. I want to say this morning that this time last year, there probably were some of you that thought you were going to die and not make it in your situation. And guess what? It's been a year and you're here. And God has kept you alive. And God has charged you up. And there's even been some good times since then that along came with the bad times. There's heavenly intervention. He says that though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Lord, you'll keep me alive. God keeps us all alive and moving forward by intervening on our behalf. Notice that second part of verse 7. And thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And so this hand that's being stretched down from heaven, it is intervening in our life. It's, number one, it's saving us from dying. It's keeping us alive. It's sustaining us. But secondly, it's sending the enemy away. He says in verse 7 again, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. This hand is sending the enemy away. Have you ever been involved or in a situation where people were, I don't know, challenging you, they were against you, they had malicious intent, they were making sure that you, I don't know, wasn't succeeding in life. Whatever the case may be, individuals, troublemakers, spiritual bullies to that extent. Well, the Lord has a way of stretching forth his hand and And he has a way of sending the enemy away at the appropriate time. God allows us to get the victory. So this hand, it sends the enemy away, but this hand saves us. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. He sends them away, and thy right hand shall save me. And so it saves us. There's intervention. The Lord is supervising us this morning. We worship on Sundays and we leave and we start our week, but guess what? God's still supervising. The Lord is working this morning and he's going to be working tonight. He works on Wednesdays and he moves in the services and he speaks through his word and he's there through the fellowship of the believers. We're strengthened through that and God initiates that. But from day in and day out and time again, he's always there to intervene. Let me mention a third thing. There's awareness under this heavenly supervision. There's intervention through this heavenly supervision. But in verse number 8, there's control through this heavenly supervision. Verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Stop right there for a second. He's talking about the Lord will complete anything that pertains to your life right now. What is it that you're concerned about this morning? What is it this morning that is or has been on your mind all week and now is on your mind here in church, and maybe you're not thinking about it now, but it's there when you leave church. You'll pick it back up. What is it in your life that you're concerned about? Well, he says that the Lord will perfect, he will complete, he will bring to a conclusion that which concerneth me. Anything that surrounds the believer, anything that pertains to the believer in his life, God is concerned about. We're his children. We're the sheep of his pasture. He's our good shepherd. He leads us and he guides us and he supervises us. We could take perfect rest this morning in the fact that whatever we're concerned about, anything that pertains to us, anything, that God will complete it. I like what Philippians 1:6 says. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's comfort this morning. Because we're in situations, we encounter struggles and we encounter problems and there's decisions that have to be made. And we stress and we struggle at times and we try to do our best to make the responsible decision on whatever it might be. But we can rest tonight, this morning, in the simple fact that whether we do the right thing or whether we fail and we falter, God has a way of taking care of everything that pertains to our life. He'll complete it. Let me give you this illustration. There's a man on a plane. A man and a wife, they're on a plane together. And the man and the wife, they're on the plane together. And they just get seated. They're snacking. They're drinking a Coke. And they're talking to one another. And I don't know, the wife says, well, honey, I want peanuts. And then the man says, well, I don't want peanuts. I just want a Coke. And then all of a sudden they're talking, well, should we call the kids? Or what do you think things are looking like at home? And there's this conversation, there's this activity that's taking place 4 hours, however long the plane flight is. And the whole time, there's a pilot that is flying the plane. And the only thing that he's been doing in the midst of all of our talking and activity on that plane ride is just getting to the destination. He got in the pilot seat and he got his target on the destination and he flew. He had no idea at all of our talking and decisions and snacking and all those activities. Listen, that's what it's like in the life of a Christian. We make decisions. We have all kinds of things going on down here. We succeed. We drop the ball. We make good decisions. We make bad decisions. But if we belong to Him, we will end up at our destination. And overall, our destination is in heaven. But along the way, God has stops to make, and He uses us, and we serve Him, and He uses us in different areas, and He changes courses in our life. We can take rest at the fact that the Lord will perfect. He will complete that which concerns us, because He's the pilot, and He is flying to the desired destination. And all the while, we're inside the plane, and we're talking and making decisions and planning and prepping, and all He's doing, He's just flying. Again, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The providential, all-knowing, controlling hand of God will get us to where we need to be, regardless of our decisions. Now listen, I believe that God has a plan for everybody's life, and if we're saved, we will be in heaven one day. But if we belong to Him and we're His children, whether we obey, whether we don't obey, we will have desires to obey, but we don't always obey, God still will get His will done in our life. Because He's sovereign and He has a plan, He's providential. God has a way of working all things together for good in our life. We see that there's control under this heavenly supervision. But then there's a fourth thing. Turn over to Psalm 37, if you would. Psalm 37. I want you to notice in verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. Not only under heavenly supervision, there's awareness, there's intervention, there's control. He will complete that which concerns us. But then there's direction. Psalm 37 in verse 23. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. In verse number 23, we see that there's heavenly direction. This supervisor, He's supervising us. Though He be high, He has respect. He has His eye on us. And He has a way of directing us. Look at the word ordered here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word ordered means to direct. It means to steer. It means to pick the feet up and put them down. So what He's saying is that the steps of a good man are ordered or directed by the Lord. And so literally, the idea is, as we're keeping our eye on Him and doing our very best for Him, we belong to Him by salvation. We do good, we do bad, we try to do our best, but the whole time, it isn't based upon our works or our own merits or righteousness. God has a plan. He has a destination. He will get there, whether He has to chasten us to get us there, or it's through obedience He'll get us there. But if God has somewhere He wants us to be, guess what? He will direct us. God has a way of ordering our steps. And so He puts orders in. He directs us. Our supervisor does. The steps of a good man are ordered. He has a way of picking our feet up and putting them down in the right direction. Notice something else. He says the steps of a good man. Now, the word good here is in italics, meaning that it was placed there by man in order for the sentence to flow and make sense. But I do believe that the good man in the flow of the verses here in the chapter has to do with the righteous man, has to do with a person that knows God or knows Jesus, the one that desires the Lord and His best in their life. He says the steps of a good man or a saved man are ordered by the Lord. And so if there's someone here this morning and you're not saved and you don't know the Lord personally, then you're at a place in your life where you're calling the shots. Because if you're lost this morning, then you don't have the Good Shepherd. In fact, in the New Testament, I believe it's in the Gospel of John, the Bible says that before a man gets saved, he is of his father, the devil. Of course, that's the Justin Hales commentary version. But the disciples and Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees was throwing out the laws and these strong judgments. And he turns to him and says, you're of your father, the devil. And when we're all created, we are the creations of God. But we're not the children of God until we get saved. And so before we get saved, we are controlled, we are moved, we are motivated, whether one realizes it or not, of the devil and the world and the flesh. And so for a man to have his steps divinely directed, now I do believe God works in the life of lost people to lead them to a place of repentance. For the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I believe that. He reigns on the just and the unjust. But there's a difference to living the blessed life. If you want to live the blessed life, you must be saved. You must know the Lord. And when you do that, He begins to direct your steps. I got saved on November 19th, 2002. My life till then, till that point, was nothing but failure, was nothing but loss, discouragement. But the day I got saved, God immediately started working. Do I believe He worked in my past? I do believe that. But I do believe that the moment that I accepted Him and He placed me on the right path, He began to pick my feet up and order my steps. He does the same thing for you and I both. He orders our steps. He directs our steps because we're on the right path. And so this morning, our heavenly supervisor, He gives direction. He orders our steps. He directs our steps. He does this for saved people. Then notice another thing in verse 23. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Did you catch that? God works in steps. God works in stages. God's not going to reveal the big picture to us at one time, because we're not ready for the big picture. So He works in stages. He works in steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so we're saved and we're taking it step by step each and every day in His Word, in prayer the best we can. We fail, we repent, and we keep going, and we're at church on Sunday. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes those steps lead to trouble, whether you drop the ball or not. Sometimes it takes disaster, and sometimes it takes trouble within the steps that God leads in order to prepare us for the next step. Because if you look at verse number 24, notice this. Though he fall. Sometimes we fall in our steps. Also, let me refer back to a verse in Psalm 138 for just a moment. You can turn there or hold your place where we're at, but back in Psalm 138, I want you to notice something. In verse number 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, though I walk in the midst of trouble, the psalmist is saying that God is guiding my steps. He is picking my steps up. He is ordering my steps step by step. And sometimes the steps lead to trouble. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt keep me alive. And so sometimes as we're stepping and we're following the Lord step by step, sometimes we are led to places of trouble. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses was leading the children of Israel? and out of Egyptian bondage, and they were going through the desert, and they were so thirsty. Every one of them, they were so thirsty. They came to a place called Marah, a body of water, and they went down to drink of that water, and no one could drink of that water because the water was bitter. It was bitter waters. But I mean, listen, Moses was following the Lord, the cloud by day and the fire by night, and the children of Israel following Moses and led them right to a place of bitterness. It's called the bittersweet experience. It's when you're following Jesus step by step and you're trusting Him. You're failing, you're getting up, and you're going again. And all of a sudden, you're at a bitter place. It happens in life. It's a place of trial. It's a place of refinement. It's a place of maturity. Because God wants all of us to grow and flourish in life. And so when Moses was leading the children of Israel, they came to Marah and they bent down to drink the water and they spit it out. They couldn't drink it because it was bitter. They cried, or complained rather. Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Bible says that God showed him a tree. And when he took that tree and he cast it into the waters, guess what happened? The bitter waters were made sweet, and they were able to drink. What's that a picture of? That's a picture of the cross. That's a picture of heavenly intervention in our life. When we're following Jesus, and He's ordering our steps, and He's picking our feet up, and He's leading us, and He's guiding us, but then all of a sudden, there's trouble. Well, no worries. You want to know why? Because God has His eye on the destination. He's the pilot, and in the process, He always points us to the cross. He always points us to forgiveness. He always points us to grace. And He always is in the process of refining us. So sometimes we find ourselves at the place, and as we're following Him, bitter places, places of struggle and places of trouble. Sometimes we doubt God that we followed Him to the right place when that happens. But the Bible tells us that we're under heavenly supervision, and He has a will, and He's working it in our life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God works in steps this morning. So whatever step you've taken here lately, it may be a good step, it may be a doubtful step, it may be a step where you're in trouble, but nonetheless, if your heart is sold out to Jesus, you're doing the best you can. He'll get you where you need to be, and you can rest it on that fact. Notice this also in Psalm 37. Not only there's direction, but then there's protection as well. There's protection. In verse number 24, he says, Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. There's protection from this heavenly supervisor. Failure is a part of learning. We all fail from time to time, and we get back up and we go again. And the Lord realizes that. That's why it's put in the scriptures here. Though he fall while making his steps, he shall not utterly be cast down. The same way that a parent is teaching the baby, the child, the toddler, how to walk, and they stumble and they fall and they look up and they cry. The parent reaches down and picks them back up and sets them aright again. That's the same way that the Lord works in our life. He's not going to leave us on our backs when we fall, but He's going to pick us up and we're going to go again. Failure is a part of learning. But then, I want you to notice, He says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The words upholdeth means to prop up. And it literally means that when we fall, the Lord picks us up and then He holds us up. He props us up. You remember a day when you woke up to set out for work and wherever your routine would send you, and you feel like that you just blew everything. You feel like maybe you were nobody, maybe you're fatigued in body, you're getting nowhere, you want to give up, you want to quit, but you went anyway. That is literally God picking you up and holding you up. The next time you go when you don't want to go, just remember that's heaven intervening on your behalf. That'll help you. It's helped me several times to know that it's not just me. It's the Lord holding me. It's the Lord holding you. And as we're stepping our way through life and trying to serve the Lord and get to where we need to be, sometimes we fall. And sometimes we falter. And sometimes we fail. But all the while we have the Lord, the unseen hand from heaven, supervising us, and He picks us up and He props us up and He puts us back on the path in the right direction. So this morning we have protection from the supervisor. We have direction. We have control. We have awareness. And we have intervention. So with all that said, I want to ask you a question. What are you concerned about? What is it that's concerning you this morning? I've read the main two verses that I really wanted to get to you this morning. And that is that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. God has it under control. Anything we're concerned about that pertains to us, God will complete it. And also in Philippians 1, chapter 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will continue it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, and whatever concern, situation you may have on your mind, you come this morning to do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we're thankful for who You are, for what You do. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that needs to come, Lord, there's been some things they've been struggling with. I pray, Lord, that You would be with them and help them, assure their hearts that they're being supervised from heaven. You know exactly what they need. You are aware of their situation. I pray that You'll just reach down and take hold of them and prop them up like You do to me many a times. Father, we'll praise You and thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come.